We know many of you listen to this podcast on the go, driving to work, working out, even doing chores. Now you can get CPE credit for that time. With Earmark, you can earn free NASBA-approved CPE for listening to the Inside Public Accounting podcast. After you listen to an episode, take a quiz, and your certificate will be ready. Earmark has courses for everyone in your firm, from staff to partners. Get started today at earmark.app or download the free app on the App Store.
Welcome back to the Inside Public Accounting podcast, where we break down the trends, the data, and the forces shaping the accounting profession. Today's episode is one of my favorites because I get to be with the wonderful Chelsea Summers, and it's our annual predictions show. This is the last one of the year, and let me tell you, 2026 is shaping up to be quite a year, unlike none other, Chelsea.
It is. So firms are facing so many simultaneous pressures. There's technology adoption, talent shifts, new ownership models, pricing changes, PE. You could feel the momentum building, and 2026 is the year where I think a lot of things are going to start to converge. So today we're walking through 10 predictions that we believe we're going to see in 2026, both from the IPA data and from conversations we're having every single week with firm leaders across the country.
And just to say, when we make predictions, there is no legal basis for you to sue us if we get these wrong. We're not betting red or black on these. It's really hard to make predictions in this uncertain world, but we're going to do our very best. And Chelsea, if anyone can make it right, you've got the data, the patterns, the trends, the research behind this. So let's dive in. We're going to be bold, aren't we, as well? We're not going to play it safe here. These are rooted in what you've seen unfold.
Yeah, no pressure. So starting off, prediction number one, AI fully embeds into firm systems. AI is no longer just an extra tool that firms are experimenting with. I think in 2026, it's going to become baked into the systems that firms are already using. So workflow, practice management, tax prep, audit platforms, everything starts to come with AI built in as the default.
And what I love about that prediction is how bold you are in saying it's not just going to be more AI, but you're giving very clear end outcomes of it. And firms are playing into AI with isolation, little pockets of experimentation. That's what they've been doing, playing with it personally and a little bit professionally. But next year, you're saying it's going to be part of the operating fabric.
Yeah. And because of that, I think firms are going to have a very different conversation about AI. It won't be, should we use this? It's how do we supervise it? How do we train our people around it? And how do we make sure that we don't become over-reliant on it?
So prediction number two, firms will still run into AI problems. Mm. Chelsea, let's talk about this because you've been warning firms about it for months. The issues associated with AI, they're not going to go away next year. As much as it gives us great upside and productivity and everything else, there are other things to consider, right?
Not at all. If anything, I think they're going to get more visible with more integration. There's going to be more problems that are going to come up. I think some of the biggest issues that we're going to continue to see is bad data going into the systems, people trusting outputs that they don't understand, hallucinations that are going to skip through reviews, and lack of governance or, you know, audit trails on the data. And I think partners signing off on work that they did not actually supervise. The firms that struggle will be the ones that are going to treat AI like some magic shiny object. The firms that excel will be the ones treating it like any other system, one that really requires a lot of oversight and training.
Yeah. So predictions one and two about AI. Prediction number three is the first real productivity divide appears. What does that mean?
So for years, we've talked about the coming divide between the firms that adopt technology well and the firms that don't. I think 2026 is the year that that split becomes visible in the numbers. There's going to be AI-enabled high output firms that have rising revenue per employee, one of those metrics we're going to be watching closely. They're going to have better margins and higher outputs. And then there's going to be the traditional firms that are going to have flat capacity, rising cost, and may deal with burnout. And I think that gap is going to become a fork in the road moment. You're either on the modernization path or you're falling behind pretty fast.
I often ask people when I do my interviews, what's going to happen to the firms that don't evolve? And the answer is irrelevance or extinction. So yeah, you wrap it up really nicely there. Prediction number four, Chelsea, is that advisory becomes the strategic center of the firm. You talk a lot about this. We've been watching it for a long time. Compliance, obviously, is not going away. It's always going to matter, but advisory becomes the strategy, the core identity of the modern accounting.
Yeah, compliance isn't disappearing, but I don't think it's going to be the growth engine at the accounting firm anymore. What we're hearing and what the IPA data is showing is that firms are intentionally moving advisory to the front of their client relationships instead of treating it as an add-on capability. 26 is going to be the year where the conversations with clients shift from, here's what we need to do for your tax or your audit, to here's how we're going to help you make better decisions all year long.
Future-focused conversation. You can feel firms getting tired of that deliver, bill, repeat cycle. That's what burns them out. So advisors, where they get to actually move the needle for their clients.
Exactly. And we're seeing that in how firms are expanding what advisory even means. You'll see more demand for CAS because clients want real-time visibility and not just rearview mirror reporting. FP&A and outsourced CFO, this huge growth area, especially in mid-market firms. And then specialty advisory like valuations, ESG readiness, cybersecurity, risk modeling. Firms are really reshaping identities. They're moving from we provide services to we help you run your business better.
Yeah, and advisory is the watchword because firms I'm seeing are coming up with a service line and putting advisory at the end of it. I saw one firm recently offering AI advisory to their business clients. So It's a very different posture we're seeing here. And it's not just a product shift in what they're offering, Chelsea. It's a mindset shift, isn't it?
Right. And I think this is really going to change how firms think about everything. The staffing, pricing, and how partners spend their time. The staffing changes are going to look like firms not just hiring accountants. They're hiring analysts, data people, even former finance leaders. And you're going to build advisory with multidisciplinary teams.
So this is going to affect every corner of the firm, isn't it?
Yeah. And I think it's going to affect pricing as well. So firms are going to have to stop justifying hours because advisory value doesn't correlate with time. You'll see more subscription pricing, retainers, fixed fee bundles.
What about the changes that are going to happen, Chelsea, with training, learning, development in firms?
Yeah, I think technical training is always going to matter, but it's no longer going to be enough. You're going to see more training around strategic thinking or business communications, data interpretation, and helping clients make decisions in real time.
This is why I feel the partner role is going to change, because their role can't stay the same, particularly as they've been doing the compliance for so many years now. If a firm becomes advisory-led, they've got to change and lead from the top.
Yeah. I think a partner in 2026 looks different. They need partners who can build relationships and lead cross-functional teams, spot opportunities, and then act on those opportunities. They've got to be able to collaborate with technology, not just deal with technology. And I think they need to be able to guide clients into forward-looking conversations. It's not going to be about which partner has the biggest book of business. It's who can help shape the direction of the client and the firm.
And an extra dimension to that I'm seeing is that partners, leaders in the firm are required to be more visible, more vocal, better ambassadors of the brand of the firm, better advocates of accountancy as a career line, because they're attracting talent as well as new clients. So to wrap that up, the real headline here, Chelsea, is that advisory stops being a service line and starts being a crucial operating strategy.
Yeah. And the firms that thrive are going to be the ones that design everything, their staffing, their pricing, their onboarding, client experience through an advisory first lens.
Okay. So prediction number 5, we're coming up to halfway through. Private equity enters its second wave. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, I think it's going to look different from what we saw in some of the early deals.
But how so?
I think you're going to see more specialized investors, not just generalist funds. People who maybe understand advisory and tech-enabled firms or tech-enabled services and professional service firms.
So it's less about let's buy a firm and more about let's build something intentionally and strategically to maybe fit in with our portfolio.
Yeah. And along with that, I think we're going to see smaller regional roll-ups instead of giant headline mergers. Maybe some more niche combinations as well. Firms focused on valuation, cybersecurity, CAS. PE wants high margin areas.
And they're not shy about these expectations and laying it down, are they?
They are not. And I think that's where this is going to be the wave where PE pushes harder on modernization. So pricing, technology adoption, global teams. If a firm has been dragging its feet, PE is going to start to force the issue.
So the second wave, we're talking about here is not just louder, it's sharper, it's more focused.
Yeah, maybe less drama and more discipline.
Okay, well, that ties into our next prediction, number 6. The partner role gets rewritten again. This feels like it's been brewing for a while.
Yeah, it has. 2026 is really when it's going to start to speed up. The partner job is no longer about being the best technical person or the biggest book of business.
You mentioned it in our show last week, Chelsea, where we reviewed 2025 and how the partner role was chasing. So just unpack this a little bit more, because that the old adage that you're indispensable by doing everything yourself, that doesn't work anymore.
No, and that's fading fast. Firms are creating new partner paths that reflect the actual needs of modern firms. Partners who specialize in operations, technology enablement, advisory, people and culture, and integration and change management.
The role is changing in that partners in the past have been that generalist superhero, but the partners of the future seem to be leaders of specific capability areas.
Yeah, I think that's the key. Firms finally recognize that running a firm takes more than just technical expertise. It takes people who can lead teams, manage systems, build advisory offerings, and actually move the firm forward.
And you've spoken about this element, but it opens the door, doesn't it, to different types of talent, maybe even non-accounting talent, those that were overlooked under the old criteria, perhaps.
Yeah, I think we're going to see more women stepping into partnership, more professionals with non-traditional backgrounds, more leaders who can excel at communication, culture, and strategy. I think those parts of the role are going to really matter.
Changing times, it's a massive shift. And who can grind the hardest to who can grow the firm the smartest? That must be a pivot that all accountants are looking forward to.
Yeah, it's going to be healthier for the firms and honestly healthier for the people, the partners, and the staff looking up to those partners.
Yeah, well, we're 60% of the way through our 10. We're on prediction number 7. And I love this one. As a father of 2 daughters and an advocate for strong female voices in the profession, we're saying more women will become partners. We're predicting the meaningful increase of female partners in 2026.
Yeah, I think as the partner role broadens, firms are finally starting to recognize leadership, influence, team development, and strategic value, not just originations. Advisory heavy practices especially create opportunities for women who have been doing the work but haven't always been recognized for it. I think 2026 will show the biggest year-over-year jump that we've seen in the IPA 100.
Know that there are more female accountants qualified than male, but in leadership positions, they're well down on the quota. So that will be great to see. Okay. Let's talk about global teams, Chelsea, with prediction number 8. Global staffing models become fully integrated next year.
Right. This is not just offshoring anymore. In 2026, it becomes fully integrated global staffing models. We'll see standard onboarding processes across borders. We'll see offshore teams doing higher level work. I think we're going to see global managers leading review processes, cross-border collaboration becoming a lot more normal, and firms that are really working hard to build a 24-hour workflow. So this is a very big shift in practice management than we've seen in many years.
Yeah, and it has to happen because the offshore and outsourcing firms are driving innovation themselves. It's such a crowded space. There's so many people jumping into this area and trying to position themselves in front of accountants to say, we are your outsourcing team of choice. So there's a lot going on. And I'm sure we'll hear more about that from you in 2026, Chelsea. Let's take prediction number 9. Charge hour models finally start cracking. Are we looking at the death of the billable hour here? Because we joke about it, but it might be the year things start to happen.
Yeah, I think it's not going to disappear, but it is going to start cracking and it is going to start changing. We're going to see
like
more
compliance.
Right, exactly. We're going to see more firms experimenting with subscription pricing, value pricing, advisory retainers, fixed fee monthly packages, or hybrid models that are going to remove hours from the equation. And even offshoring really makes the hourly model harder to justify. And firms are starting to shift because clients are starting to ask different questions.
Expectations go up ever higher. I heard the phrase recently, yesterday's good is tomorrow's average.
Yes.
And
love
what
that.
Clients were wowed by yesterday, that becomes standard today. So
yeah.
This is wonderful. We're going to wrap it up with our 10th prediction of 2026. We are saying that succession problems push firms towards more mergers. You're predicting that mergers are going to be part of their succession plan, Chelsea. in 2026.
Yeah. Many firms don't have the pipeline for partner transitions. They don't have enough people ready, willing, or able to step into ownership. And instead of doing that hard work to build the next generation, they're going to choose to combine. I think we're going to see a significant uptick in mergers driven not only by a growth strategy, but by succession urgency.
We haven't mentioned independence, but I hear a lot of firms trying to hold on to independence. It's a conversation that's going to keep coming up, I'm sure, because private equity and M&A is so much part of the fabric now of accounting. So, wow, there it is, 2026. The firms that thrive are going to be the ones that embrace all the change that's going on and not reacting to it.
Yeah, exactly. Technology, talent, ownership, pricing, operations are all shifting at the same time. And firms don't need to get everything right immediately, but they do need to just keep moving forward and not clinging to that old model out of comfort and ease.
Something I said at the end of my shows, TLC, is if you think change is hard, try not changing.
Oh, yes.
There's going to be some firms and people that get left behind, aren't there?
Yeah, absolutely. Yes.
Well, we'd love to hear your predictions. If you're bold enough as us, send us a message on LinkedIn or email us or drop your thoughts in the comments. Stay tuned because we're going deeper into these topics in upcoming episodes. This is what this podcast is all about.
Yeah, thanks for listening. I would love to hear your comments and thoughts on our top 10 predictions. Would love to hear if you agree, disagree, have other ones that you think you're going to see next year. And thank you so much for listening. We'll see you next week.